Turn again to the part of God's Word that we read already in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45, and we shall read again at verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And it is especially with the Lord's help, verse 19, that we would endeavor to consider. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. When the Lord Jesus spoke about prayer, he always assured his hearers that their prayers would be answered. He tells his disciples, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Lord gave direction about prayer, and he promised that prayer will be responded to. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, he says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And the Lord, in the following words, declares the definite result of the exercise of prayer. He says, not so much what is a promise, but what is a certain reality and what is true in every case. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, we have to ask ourselves, do we believe the Savior to be speaking truth? It may sound strange to ask such a question. After all, you might say, who would doubt the Savior's word? But is it not the case that every one of us by nature has an evil heart of unbelief, and that is essentially to deny the truth? It is to deny the truth and the power of Christ. And that is the result of unbelief. If we, for example, like Peter, admit the possibility of the waves overthrowing us, we then limit the power of God. And if we really believed the words of Christ about prayer and seeking the Lord, would we not be stirred up to prayer and pray with perseverance and pray as never before? Then let us not say that it is vain to seek the Lord. Let us not, by our behavior, our attitude, or our conduct, say such an abhorrent statement that we do not believe the Lord to hear our prayers. He will not reveal himself to us when we seek him. That is the result of unbelief. Let us believe the word of Christ. Believe the word of God, for he tells us, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. With the Lord's help, let us look at this verse, this part of his word, and try to understand something about the declaration. He says, God says, I declare things that are right. What does he say to us in this declaration? What can we, how can we describe the declaration? Well, first of all, we would notice that the message is open and clear. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth, the Lord tells us. The message is open and clear. In the second place, let us consider that the message is plain and specific. He says, seek ye me. That is the message. Seek the Lord, seek His face, seek His strength, seek His face evermore. The message is plain and specific. And finally, in the third place, let us notice that the message is true and absolute. What the Lord says is true. And if we obey the directions given us, it will not be in vain. He says, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. The message is true and absolute because it is spoken by Him of whom it is said, it is impossible for God to lie. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. First, then, the message is open and clear. Secondly, the message is plain and specific. And thirdly, the message is true and absolute. First, then, the Lord helping us, we notice that the message is open and clear. God has not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. God's revelations are open and accessible to those who would receive them. It's not like the ancient sorcerers who perhaps hid in caves and dens of the earth and spoke in muffled tones. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, and when they shall say unto you, and the heathen is speaking, and they're talking to God's people, and they're trying to seduce and tempt them, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, they should not seek the dead on behalf of the living. They should not go to sorcerers that chirp and that speak in muffled tones in a dark place of the earth. You see, we do not need to resort to superstitious practices. We are directed to God who speaks openly and not in secret in a dark place of the earth. We're not to resort to magic. That's not what Christianity is. We are not required to make a long distant journey or go to an isolated place to receive an answer to the meaning of life. We are not to try to decode the meaning of Scripture. It is true that some texts are obscure, but overall the Bible is clear, and whatever is necessary to salvation is open and plain in its meaning. It is wrong to try to find some hidden message in the text and try to look at the number of letters in a particular word and see if we can unscramble it, we can find a hidden message in the Bible. No, God does not speak in secret. In a dark place of the earth, we're not to resort to some superstitious practice. The proclamation is open, it is plain, it is clear. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. In other words, what God has said is open, it is proclaimed loudly. We can just notice what took place at Mount Sinai and hear the thunderings. Yes, it may be terrifying, but God has not spoken in secret. In a dark place of the earth, there were 2 million escaped slaves who were brought into the desert, and the world knew about it. And God also spoke in intelligible words. The people of Israel knew what God was saying when He gave the Ten Commandments. And then later on in the history of Israel, we learn about the prophets who came again and again and warned the people, speaking plainly to them about their sin and their need of repentance. In Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 4, God says, "Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate." What are we doing in our lives? Are we doing an abominable thing that God hates? We might be quick to justify it, but in the sight of God it may be abominable, and we should be examining ourselves and our practices and our conduct and our attitudes. Well, we see that God speaks not in secret, but openly, and His message is clear, and what He does is not in a dark place of the earth. It is not in a corner. The Lord Jesus came. The prophecies were fulfilled. The Son of God came into the world in human nature. He did not come in a way that was concealed. He was in a state of humiliation, but it was announced, His coming was announced by angels, and the shepherds were witnessing that amazing event that was heralded by angels, and then they went to tell others about it. Wise men came from the east. They saw His star. They were led to the place where the Savior was born, and they brought their presents with them. Even King Herod knew about it. There was a stir in Jerusalem, and the wise men came asking, "Where is He that is born, King of the Jews?" And the result, of course, was sadly a mass execution. Then later on, as the Lord Jesus goes into Egypt and comes back again, and He is called a Nazarene. And at the age of 12, He goes into Jerusalem, worshiping at the temple. And there the religious leaders were shocked at the answers this 12-year-old gave. These things were not hidden. Christ came, and later on, after He is baptized, He was proclaimed to be the one whom God sent. And the envy of the religious leaders was stirred up, and they wanted Him taken and destroyed. And even Pilate, the representative of the greatest political power on earth, recognized the Savior's innocence. They were crying out, "Away with Him, crucify Him." And He replies, "Why? What evil hath He done? I find no fault in Him." Then later on, Paul, the one who was called Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, he is converted, and he is brought even before Caesar himself. And before that, he told other government officials that these things were not hid in a corner. God has not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, "Seek ye me in vain." I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And how thankful we should be that it is clear. How thankful we should be that the revelation is open. It is accessible. It is revealed to us. Are we receiving the revelation? It was not hid in a corner. It was before politicians and statesmen and religious leaders. It is brought before us in the 21st century. And how thankful we should be. The Lord Jesus tells Pilate, or rather I should say, the Lord Jesus replies to the high priest in John chapter 18 and verse 19 and verse 20. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world." The Lord Jesus is the revelation of God's wisdom. God has made Christ to us wisdom. And He is the manifestation of God's wisdom. And Jesus says, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth." And how we should praise God that the way of salvation is clear. It is open, it is manifest. The righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In the Old Testament, it was made known, and in the New Testament time, it is clearly revealed. The way of salvation is in the person of Christ. It's not in a dark place of the earth. It's in Christ. And our faith is not in some logical proposition, but in a living person who died and rose again and who rules over all. The way of salvation is clear. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The children know what a door is. How did you enter into the church? You came through the door. How are you going to be saved? You must go to God. How do you go to God? Through the door, and Jesus is the door. Go to God through Jesus. You must come to Jesus in order to be saved. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Are you inquiring? Are you asking? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not difficult to understand. You trust your loved ones to help you. Trust in Christ to save you. The Lord Jesus is the one foundation. You know what a foundation is? You build a house on a foundation. You are to rest upon Christ as the foundation of acceptance with God. Lean upon Him. Rest upon Him. Trust and depend upon Him. That's what faith is. It's not difficult in itself. The Lord speaks to us in a way that is plain, and that leads us to consider that the message itself is plain and specific. Here in this part of God's Word, He is telling us specifically our duty. Verse 19, our text, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain." That's the specific message, to seek the Lord. Seek ye me. We are to seek His face, seek His strength, seek His salvation. Seek the forgiveness of sins. Seek ye me. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. What is it to seek the Lord? Well, it's not just asking, "What must I do to be saved?" That is a good thing if you're asking that question. But while it is good to ask questions about spiritual things, and most of all to ask about the way of salvation, you see, we may ask a lot of questions, but asking questions never saved anybody. We must seek the Lord. Not just inquire, "What is the way to Zion? Tell me what I need to do. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. What must I do to be saved?" Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. That's what you are to do. And the question is, are you and I doing it? Seeking the Lord, because if we are, then we will find. And there is no question about that. So seeking the Lord is seeking with care, seeking with the intention of finding. We hardly need to give that definition or to spell it out, seeking with the intention of finding, because if you're not intending to find, we would say it doesn't sound like you're seeking at all. You're wandering. Seeking, by definition, is trying to find. Seeking with care. And therefore, it involves, and I would just mention three things tonight. First is using all the means of grace. Well, like Lydia, who was there at the prayer meeting when Paul was there to preach the gospel. She was listening to the words spoken by Paul, and she responded. The Lord opened her heart, and she responded and received the gospel. Well, there's Cornelius also, and he was praying. And when Peter arrived, he was there assembled, ready to hear what God would speak through Peter. Seeking the Lord involves seeking Him in the way that He has appointed. And God has appointed the use of the means of grace. We all know what means to an end is. A means of transportation, the car gets you from A to B. The means of grace are that which God has appointed to lead you to grace. Means of grace is a means to an end. The end is grace. Do you want the end? Do you want the grace? We're to use the means to an end, to use the means. And of course, you're asking, what are the means? That's reading God's Word, hearing God's Word preached. It's prayer. And singing the Psalms and these various ways, they are the ordinances of God, and they are the means of grace. Now, we are to seek the Lord while He may be found. And where can God be found? God can be found, and He is found, in the use of the means. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. God is found in the reading of the Word, in the preaching of the Word, in singing the Psalms, in prayer. God has appointed these means in order to receive grace, in order that we might find Him. So does faith come by hearing? Well, then we should be hearing the Word. Because that is where God gives faith in Himself, in Christ. Well, not only does seeking involve using the means of grace, there is also, secondly, seeking the Lord with the whole heart. The whole heart is engaged, in other words, when a person is truly seeking the Lord. And therefore it involves repentance, turning from sin to God. In Isaiah chapter 55, the well-known verse, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call ye upon Him while He is near." The very next verse is, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." So seeking the Lord involves going to God. And if we are really going to God, we are going away from sin. So, in seeking the Lord, the whole heart is engaged, and there will therefore be heart searching. We will be asking ourselves, am I really seeking the Lord? If salvation is important to us, we will be asking, well, why am I not saved? What am I missing? And why am I not finding, if I am truly seeking the Lord? Is my heart in it? Am I engaged in some activity that is completely contrary to God's will? Because, friends, giving our time to worldly diversions is not seeking the Lord. That's not the way to seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord in order to find involves the whole heart. The person is asking, yes, inquiring the way, what must I do to be saved? That's good. But there is more. There is making use of all the means, reading the Bible, praying, hearing God's Word, waiting with expectation, expecting, looking, seeking to find out what may be discovered in the use of the means. What will God say to me on this occasion? It may be something that is just what I need to hear. And then there is this, in seeking the Lord with the whole heart, nothing would give greater satisfaction than to know that we have found Him, that Christ is our all in all. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, Moses speaking to the children of Israel about being led into captivity because of their sin. Will they return to their own land? Will they be delivered from exile? If thou thence, from thence, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So seeking the Lord involves, first, the use of the means of grace, and secondly, the whole heart, and thirdly, seeking through the mediation of Christ, coming to God in his appointed way, and that is relying not upon our seeking, but relying upon the merit of Christ. It involves praying in the name of Christ, relying upon the one foundation of acceptance with God. We are not saved on account of our seeking, but we are saved in the way of seeking. But we are seeking the Lord, coming to the Lord, coming to the Lord through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door, coming to God through Jesus. In our chapter, in verse 24, we read, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Yes, it's in Christ that we have righteousness, the basis of entering heaven. Even to him shall men come, coming to Christ. And it is to Christ we must come. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. So, seeking the Lord, using the means of grace, seeking with the whole heart, relying on the mediation and the merit of Christ. Well, the message, the declaration is plain and specific. Seek ye me. Seek the Lord's face. Seek his strength evermore. And now we notice, finally, in the third place, that the message is true and absolute. The message is true and absolute. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And also, I said, not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. It will not be vain to seek the Lord. We will not seek him hopelessly. That's not what he tells us. He tells us, seek him, and he doesn't tell us, seek him in vain. It is not like the false religions where we do our best, we try as hard as we can, and just maybe things will work out. Maybe the Muslims will have enough good works to go to heaven. There's no way to receive the forgiveness of sins, not that I am aware of. Maybe they will be saved. Paul the Apostle says that we have a hope that does not make us ashamed. We are saved by a sure salvation. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. They are sure. It is certain. It is faithful, because God is true to his word. And so he tells us that if we seek him, we will find him, and we will not seek in vain. The word in the original vain means confusion or chaos. And he is saying that if we seek him, it will not result in hopelessness or that which is void or despair. It is the same word that is used in the previous verse in regard to creation. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He did not create the world in vain. He did not create it meaningless or void. Yes, we know that the earth was void and without form at first, but that's not the way it was left. He did not create it to be in vain or meaningless or formless. He created it to be inhabited. And so in seeking the Lord, He does not tell us to seek Him in a way that is meaningless, that is dark and formless, in a way of confusion, in a way that will end in despair. He says, "I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain." Seek Him with disappointment, in a way that will end in hopelessness. No. We seek Him with certainty. Seek me in a way in which you will find me. If you seek me, you are sure to find. Seek knowing that if you seek Him, you will find in the way that He has appointed. Therefore, do not say it is vain to seek the Lord. Like the Jews in Malachi who said, it is vain to serve God. Do not say it is vain to seek the Lord. Don't say, well, I have been trying to seek the Lord, but I haven't found Him. I haven't found anything, so it must be too good to be true. Well, that is very near to saying what the unbelievers say in Job chapter 21 and verse 15, where the verse before that they're saying, to God depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. In verse 15 they say, what is the Almighty that we should serve Him, and what profit can we have if we pray unto Him? What's the good it will do us? Why should we pray? We get no benefit from it. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And if we are saying that it is vain to seek God, He will not hear us. It does us no good to seek the Lord. Then we are giving in to unbelief. It is the expression of the evil heart of unbelief. We're saying in our hearts, He won't save us. He cannot save us. Because saying that He will not save us is very similar to saying He cannot save us. Because the power of God and the willingness of God are linked together. In other words, if we really laid hold of the fact that God is able to save us, He has the power to save us. If we really felt that, if we really believed it, we would have no, at least we would have not much hesitation in accepting the fact that He is willing to do so. We would lay hold of the fact that He is able to save us to the extent that we would inevitably look to Him for it. So, the power of God and the willingness of God in the consciousness of the person are very much linked together. And unbelief is saying He will not, and even He cannot. It is an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Not seeking the Lord, giving up seeking Him, is to depart from Him. And that is unbelief. And really, that is rejection of Christ. And it is very close to saying that Christ died in vain. Who would say that? Who would say Jesus died in vain? But friends, that is what unbelief is saying. If you believed that He died for good, if you really accepted the fact that He died to save sinners, and you laid hold of that, you would say, you would actually trust in Him. But by failing to trust in Him, you are making a statement that as far as you are concerned, in your own world, in your own consciousness, you are saying, He died in vain. And all of this contradicts God. God says, seek ye me. And our unbelief is saying, He says, seek Him in vain. God says, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Yes, the message is true and absolute. When God speaks, it is true. He declares things that are right. And when he says, seek him, it is with the intention that we will find him. Do we accept that? When the gospel comes into our awareness, into our consciousness, the effect it was meant to have is to bring us to Christ, to bring us to God. How can you prove that? You say, well, here's how we prove it, because you will be held accountable and responsible for failure to do so. How can we be punished for failing to come to Christ if it wasn't intended that we should come to him? And the gospel comes with this purpose, with this objective and intention, that when you hear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, the intention is you would believe in him so as to be saved. And therefore, friends, let us not give in to unbelief. We need to see the evil of unbelief in departing from the living God. We are not to be saying to God, it is vain to seek thee. He says, I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. It is impossible for God to lie. He says nothing, he does nothing that is inconsistent with his holy perfections, and therefore he is true to his word, and he cannot do or be otherwise. If we can look at the distinction between the two words, I, the Lord, speak righteousness, I declare things that are right. The one word, righteousness, speaks about God's holiness and righteousness. And the other word is literally uprightness. I declare things that are right or upright. The effect that God's revelation should have upon us and is intended to have upon us is to make us upright. It is to have a good effect upon us. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God and the revelation of the gospel should have this impact upon us, making us upright. It's not like the magicians or the sorcerers who dealt with devious things and practices that were forbidden, dark, and immoral. God declares things that are right, that are upright, and should bring us to uprightness. Well, God has made a declaration. It is his message that is true and absolute. What has God spoken in his word? Well, he has told us many things in connection with salvation. He has said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do we believe that to be true? Does it move us to call upon him? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you like the woman with the issue of blood who said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I just call upon him as I should, I will be saved, because that's what the Word of God says. Am I really calling upon him? Oh Lord, help me to call upon thee, because if I call upon thee, thy Word tells me I'll be saved. Because the Lord is a hearer of prayer. And they that know thy name, do you know his name? Do you know that he is merciful? Do you know that he is waiting to be gracious? They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The Lord tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, seek the Lord, go to the Lord, go to God through Jesus, let him return unto the Lord. and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do we believe that he will abundantly pardon us if we come to him? You say it just seems to be too good to be true. As Hugh Martin says, that's a very poor excuse for not making use of it. But God meets you here and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. You may think, how can it be? Like Nicodemus, how can these things be? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Salvation is glorious. It meets us in our low condition, but it springs from heaven. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we seek him, we will find him. Don't worry about what floats in our minds. Don't listen to those other voices. Go by what the Word of God declares to us. When they say, go seek something that is dark and hidden, just maybe you'll find the secret there or the answer over there. Don't listen to wizards that peep and mutter. To the law and to the testimony. Go to God's Word. If they speak not according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them. Go by God's Word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did David tell his son Solomon when David was just about to pass away and Solomon was going to take on the work of building the temple? 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart or a whole heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he says, he will be found of thee. There it is, again, the confirmation of the promise. If you seek him, you will find him. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Are not the Lord's ways fair, equal? Does he not tell us plainly the result of departing from him? He sets before us life and death, and he calls us to choose life and not death. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Yes, the Lord is the hearer of prayer. He will answer us. He says, the Lord Jesus says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Lord never denied his people. And as Matthew Henry says, if the Lord did not think fit to give them the particular thing that they prayed for, yet he gave them such a sufficiency of grace. He gave them such comfort and satisfaction of soul as were equivalent. God not only gives a gracious answer to those that diligently seek him, but he will be their bountiful rewarder. That reminds us, and of course that's an allusion to the well-known declaration of Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do we believe that? It were a good thing if we truly laid the promise to heart, so that we might be stirred up and motivated to seek him diligently. Well, the specific declaration, God speaks generally in his word so many precious promises, but he tells us in his word in this chapter seek ye me. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. What does he say? Back up to verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. Are you questioning that? The Lord says that He does great things. Back up to verse 9. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. It's like the earth is giving birth. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. See, righteousness is coming out of the earth. There are souls being saved. I, the Lord, have created it. Ah, someone is quarreling with God. It's just too good to be true. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. It's not going to happen in my experience. It's all vain as far as I'm concerned. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. It's like a piece of pottery saying to the potter, you can't do it. You don't have any hands. You can't do this work. You have no hands, no ability. When the pottery is the very evidence that the potter has hands to do it. That's what's brought out here. And you and I are the evidence that God is able to work wondrously. We are His creation. We are His creatures. He created us. Can He not save us? What power is His? He can do it. Don't question His ability nor His willingness. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Israel shall be saved. You say, well, that's the seed of Israel. That's the children of Israel. That's God's people. How do we answer that? Verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved. Who is he speaking to? All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And besides, he is, we believe, speaking to the visible church. The seed of Jacob, yes. But are all the seed of Jacob, at least visibly, are they all in possession of saving grace? Do they not all need a new heart? Yes, they do. And the Lord is able to give it to them, to sprinkle clean water upon you. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I will put my spirit within you, and a new heart and a new spirit God is able to give to the seed of Jacob. That is what you and I stand in need of. And He is calling us to look to Him or seek Him. Look unto me, he says, or turn to me. It can be translated, turn to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. He is the creator. All the makers of idols are like their idols. They have eyes, but they see not, mouths, but they speak not. They can't predict the future. God tells us the end from the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. You sinned against Him, but He is able to save you from your sins. Look unto me, He calls you, and be ye saved. If you seek Him, He will be found. If you seek Him, you will not seek in vain. You will find Him. You ask, what is finding Him? It is God permitting Himself to be found. It is, in other words, God revealing Himself to you. That is something for God to do, to disclose Himself to you. He can do that. He is willing to do so. He has promised that if you seek Him, you will find Him. He will, as the Lord Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, say to you, I that speak unto you am He. And should not these thoughts motivate us to seek Him? He will reveal Himself to us. He will disclose Himself. He will make Himself known to us in the breaking of bread and in other ways in His Word. And all of this should bring us, like the church, to say, I will rise now, and I will seek him whom my soul loveth. And it was just a little while afterwards that she says, I sought him, I found him, and I held him, and would not let him go. David knew that the Lord will be found of them that seek him. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So, where does this leave us tonight? Are we seeking the Lord? Perhaps you are here belonging to the church in a visible way, but we all know that even though we profess the true religion, yet we need religion in our hearts. We need Christ in our souls. If we die without grace and salvation, if we die without a new heart, we are cut off from God forever and will perish in our sins. So what should we be seeking? We should be seeking understanding. We should be praying earnestly to the Lord, show me myself, show me who I am, show me I'm a sinner, show me that by nature I'm dead in trespasses and sins, and show me the need I have of a new heart, and Lord, enable me to seek a new heart above all things. Thou hast said, make you a new heart. But Lord, I have no power to make myself clean and pure. I cannot make myself a new heart. But Thou hast said in Thy word, I will give you a new heart. So Lord, may I be one of those to whom Thou wilt give a new heart. Make me clean. Sprinkle clean water upon me and deliver me from my idols and give me a love for Thy truth and a love to Christ such that I never imagined were possible. And seek the Lord Himself. And as you pray, show me myself, pray also, Lord, show me Thyself. Lift up the light of Thy countenance upon me. Show me Thyself. Reveal Thyself to me. Seek His face. With this assurance that if we seek Him, we will find. And Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There are some who have sought the Lord and found Him. And we ask you, and we might call you a seeker of the Lord, did you stop seeking Him after you found Him? No, you didn't stop seeking, but perhaps you have left off seeking as diligently as you should be. And therefore, we would encourage one another to seek the Lord and His face. Seek His strength evermore. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek Him. Seek to have greater views of Christ. Like the Greeks who came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. They wanted to see Christ. Is that your prayer? Is that my desire? Are we seeking to see Jesus? Should we not be seeking that in connection with the communion season? And seek grace in the meantime to resist the devil, that he might flee from us, to resist worldly influences, to resist selfishness and pride, and be seeking the Lord, that there would be a spirit of dependence upon Him, and recognizing the Savior's gracious promise, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Seek His strength from Him who is almighty. And as we seek the Lord, should we not plead the promises? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He assures us, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Should we not be pleading this promise? I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Should we not be saying, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief? Lord, thou art true to thy promises. Thou didst turn away no one who came to thee. Oh, that we might come. Oh, that I might seek thee with all my heart. Thou art the hearer of prayer. Thou art true to thy word. Then hear my cry as I call upon thee. As I lift up my voice to thee, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon me. Thou dost speak in righteousness. Thou art true, and thou hast said that we will not seek in vain. Then, Lord, do as thou hast said. Grant to shine on us with thy face. For thou hast said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. May he bless his word. Let us pray.